computer. This is Data.
I'm an android. I'm
Rangers McBasketball.
I was processing all of the information.
Processing.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Rangers McBasketball.
Analytics was crap.
Does not compute.
Just because you got good stats doesn't mean you're a good team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Lakers Exceptionalism Podcast. I'm your host for the day, Tim. You know me as Krandis McBasketball on Twitter. Tom is not with me today. He is broken. The Lakers have broken Tom. No, I'm kidding. He's on vacation, but just me today. We're going to do a quick solo pod. Since the last pod came out, the Lakers have lost yet again to the Thunder, who are not good. They lost to Portland and were blown out in like the first quarter. They were down like 20 or 30 points. And they beat the Charlotte Hornets in overtime. This was a team coming off a, you know, this is a back-to-back team with the Hornets. This is their second game in the second day. The night before, they were out partying, and they still took the Lakers to overtime. So that wasn't quite what you were hoping for, and the Lakers even blew, I think, an 11-point lead with about 4 minutes left in that one. So even with the win, I didn't really leave that one feeling good, but a win is a win, and you'll take it. Hopefully the team's learning from this. What I'm hoping is they don't just say, yeah, we can't learn from anything. We're missing guys. You can't live through excuses, or you're never going. Like, those are not championship behaviors. Championship behaviors are learning every day, embracing that process, trying to get better at the little things so that when you do infuse your roster with talent, those little things are clicking the right way and you're able to make the most of your group. And we're seeing some of that, and we're seeing some growth, but in other areas, it hasn't been great. And I'll say this, as constructed with who's available, who's injured, every day we look at this injury report coming out and it's full of names. The Lakers are not good. They should be able to win games here and there. In the NBA, we see teams with less talent win games, but it's going to be tough. And they need to make the most of what they have in order to do so. Minimum contracts are a big part of this roster from a roster construction standpoint. That's, you know, it wasn't necessarily an issue. You kind of have to go with that if you're going to be as cheap as the Buss family trust decided to be this offseason and not retain a guy like Alex Caruso, who we heard they offered from Caruso. They offered, what was it, less than, 2 years, $7 million, 2 years, $14 million. Like, I forget the exact number, but the Lakers kind of fumbled that situation, and it was really disappointing to hear that. Just like several other transactions, the Lakers didn't make a great choice. It didn't look good. It was a money saving move, and until we hear from the player or the GM, you know, people are going to spin it and make up excuses. This, just like Nick Batum in the past, who said, yeah, you know what, the Lakers never even reached out to me. These are instances where it makes the Lakers look bad. And it's, you know, the truth is that they didn't make the right decision. But with GM stuff, there can be so much smoke and mirrors and ambiguity that it's really easy to come up with your own stories and narratives to make who you want to look good or look bad. But hearing it from Caruso himself did not leave me a happy camper. I'm sure most of you have seen that video as well. If not, go check that out. It was he joined the, what is it, Old Man in the Three podcast. JJ Redick does some great stuff over there, so check that out. But anyway, minimum contracts. This team has a lot of them. You know, the percentage of the roster overall that's full of them, that is comprised of them, is pretty high. But realistically, when everyone's healthy, they won't make up that large a percentage of the minutes because, I mean, Russ, LeBron, AD, they're all going to play 35, 36 minutes a game. You've got THT and Nunn, who should be contributing a good number of minutes, probably in the 20s for each of them. And then you're left with everybody else. But, I mean, when the Lakers lost to, who was it? I think Portland, about 90% of their minutes were from minimum contracts. That's crazy. Like, that lets you know the game's not going to go well. That's like, you know, doing an expansion team or coming up with a new team, not even an expansion team, like coming up with a new team in the old 2K games where you don't get to draft from other teams. You're just picking up free agents and you just have a bunch of really bad guys. That's kind of what it looked like. I've been calling it the Russ in the Minnows show. Get the min in there. When that's the case, it's going to be rough. When AD's in there with him, it should be better. When Bron's in there as well, you know, that's when you're able to really put some things together and win some games. But even then, this team's missing key players. And on the next pod, I want to talk about those key players with Kendrick Nunn, THT, Trevor Ariza, and discuss when we expect them back and what we expect from them when they're back and how that really fits into the Lakers' strengths and weaknesses right now. Because, yeah, guys are going to be back. What are they going to fix? How much are they going to fix? So we can analyze that deeper. That'll be next time. For now, this is not a team right now that is, like, I feel great about this next three games where they play Miami, Minnesota, San Antonio. You should be able to win two or three of those games, but with this roster, how it's constructed, I don't know. So I'm in a rough place in trying to, not, I shouldn't say that. I'm doing fine. But this team's in a rough place, and we really want to try to be seeing how the little things are going and embracing and celebrating the little victories and guys getting better at specific areas, because bigger picture from a win-loss standpoint, it's probably not going to be pretty unless we see some larger coaching strategy changes and or players getting back. Tom, although he's not with us today, passed along a few messages. This is what he said. He said, protect Carmelo Anthony at all costs. Yes, I agree with that. Play Dwight more. Yes, I agree with that. And then he said, start Reeves. Okay, Tom, calm down. Maybe. We'll see. Reeves has been really good. I will say Reeves has been excellent as a pick and roll defender. And I'm really pleased with that. His on-ball defense at the point of attack, like, he's out there hustling, but he's been beaten at a fairly high rate. So that's not encouraging. But as an off-ball guy, his chaser defense has been great. From a rotation standpoint, he's been one of the Lakers' best defenders. So I'd love to see some more of Reeves. Okay. Melo, what the hell is Melo shooting right now? Melo's hitting every three. It's crazy. Like, it can't continue. It shouldn't continue like this. At some point, he's going to have some sort of slump. But if he's shooting like 50, 60% at Staples on threes, you know, you're going to win some more games. And so far this season, the Lakers have kind of, you know, won and lost as Melo has either hit his threes or not hit his threes. So that's been interesting. But just such a boost off the bench. And it's exciting hearing him come into the game and hearing the crowd cheer him on. Just loving what we're seeing from him offensively. We'll talk about the defense in a minute. But all things considered, he is given the Lakers surplus value at his contract. And talking about the Lakers' issues, I mean, really, it was the defense. Last time we checked in, it was, hey, the defense is struggling. This needs to be a better defensive team. And actually, recently, it's been a bit better than that. On the season overall, including all minutes, not removing garbage time or anything, the Lakers are 14th in defensive rating, which is very low for them. Over the last five games, they've been third. And I'll say this, over the last five games, they've played Houston twice, who barely had any semblance of an offense in the first game, but by the second game, were more focused and from a play-calling standpoint and actually looked organized. Lakers played OKC once, they played Portland, and they played Charlotte. Most of these teams were doing a pretty good job of attacking the Lakers' defensive coverages, and yet the Lakers still did a pretty good job. Third-ranked defensive rating over those five games. We saw less than 40 total minutes from Rondo in those five games. I think that helps the defense. Reeves was really good. Bradley was really good. I went back, and I'm going to continue working my way backwards so I have all the games tracked, but I have gone through every clip of film and logged for every Laker player, every one of those key elements of defense that I think we should be looking at. With the on-ball defense, like, how often are they losing at the point of attack? How often off-ball are they getting back cut or losing their man or, like, you know, completely not boxing out and their guy crashes and gets an offensive rebound? From a pick and roll standpoint, looking at the ball handler defense, how are they fighting over screens? And once they get over the screen, are they just kind of giving up? Are they giving back pressure? Are they cracking down on the big? Like, overall, how are they doing? And this one's a binary, either good or bad. Chaser defense, similar things, avoiding screens, getting back pressure, whatnot, recovering. And then looking at rotation. So the tagging the roll man or trapping the box, I have them grouped together. So if there's a drive and you're the low man, meaning you're the closest defender to the baseline on the weak side, your responsibility is to scoot on over there and defend the rim and trust that your teammates are going to rotate behind you. That first rotation whether it's defending a drive, which we'd call trapping the box, or if it's tagging a roll man. So in a pick and roll, the roll man rolling, getting in front of him and making sure he can't catch and score at the rim. Those two together, I have as one category. Sinking, which, and actually I'll say this, the concepts here that I'm talking about now, I just put out a video on YouTube about. You can go check that out. It's like 45 minutes, 46 minutes. If you put it on like time and a half speed, you'll get through it a bit quicker. It was explaining concepts and then digging into a bunch of film and going through a bunch of diagrams of like, hey, this, if you're here, who does what? Okay, this guy goes here, that guy goes there, and breaking down the film of how it's looked so far. So syncing or helping the helper is that second rotation. The Lakers have been a bit worse at this than the first one. And then filling is the third rotation. That's kind of rotating behind the sink. This is often a defender on the perimeter zoning up two players weak side. And the Lakers have been really bad at this. So looking at those three areas I've tracked, and then looking at drop coverage, and then I lumped together aggressive screen coverages all together, whether those be soft or catch edges, shown recovers or traps, just how well are you able to contain and do what you're supposed to do in those non-drop coverages. So from that, we've seen some good and we've seen some bad. You can definitely tell this roster is made up of a lot of players who are on minimum contracts, who have a strength or two, and then are bad in other areas. Just working through these on ball, Bradley, AD, Reeves, and DeAndre Jordan have been beaten a lot as on ball defenders in terms of, you know, just how often they're doing it, how many times they're getting beat per minute. Like, those four guys have been the cause of most of the Lakers' breakdowns. In just these five games, AD has been beaten 18 times at the point of attack. Reeves 16, Bradley 16, DeAndre only 7, but he's played only 78 minutes. That's been a problem. And so that's causing you to need to rotate and is, you know, something to keep an eye on. This isn't just an AD being sick thing or hurting his thumb. This has been something that's been ongoing. And as I continue to track going past these five games, forward and backward, I think we'll see that a little bit more clearly, but he has not played up to his potential so far, and that's really, really hurt the Lakers. And especially when he's been a center and he's playing more on ball, he's been beat, and that's just not good, because then when he's playing center and you don't have bigger guys on the back line to rotate, that causes problems. From a pick and roll defensive standpoint, guarding ball handlers, Reeves and Bradley have been stellar, dude. They've been so good. Just avoiding screens, recovering, so many ball screens that you're never going to see logged in like Synergy or something like that, because they're just completely shut down. There's no shot off of it, no advantage, nothing. Bazemore's been pretty good. Russ has been so-so, and then Monk has been really, really bad. Not too many other guys defended too many of these, so I won't comment on them. From an off-ball chaser defensive standpoint, I'd say Russ, Reeves, and Bradley have been excellent. And when I say this, it's me looking at the numbers and telling you they've been excellent. I'm not just making stuff up. Bazemore has been so-so. Monk has been bad here. And then from a rotation standpoint, when we get to trapping the box and tagging, this is the first rotation. The team as a whole, 72% execution. Nobody has had more opportunities than Carmelo Anthony, and he's done really well. 82% execution on 39 chances in five games. So that is quite a bit. That's about eight times per game he's, you know, given an opportunity to do this. And what did I say? 82%? Yeah, 82%. So out of those eight times a game, he is executing like six of them, seven of them. So that's pretty good. When we work our way down, Ellington, Reeves, Bazemore, and LeBron have also been pretty good. Russ, Avery Bradley, Malik Monk, AD, and even Dwight and DeAndre have been a little bit less stellar. A couple of particular guys that stand out, Monk at 58% execution. That's like one out of two times he just does not rotate, or he's rotating late. AD's at 66%, so one out of three times he's not rotating correctly. So that's really concerning for the Lakers if they want to do anything as a team this year. The sinks, so that helping the helper, this is the second rotation. The Lakers are at 62% as a team. Bazemore, Braun, Monk, and Melo have been really good with these. Bazemore, Braun, and Monk have been really good with these. Russ, Bradley, and Reeves have been so-so. And Ellington, Melo, and AD have been pretty bad. the fills, that third rotation, as the team, the Lakers are at 44%. AD, Monk, and Rondo have done really well here. No one else really has. And there have been lower volumes of this, so it's hard to say, like, hey, this guy's, you know, 1 for 10. It's more like he's 1 for 5 or 2 for 6 or something like that. Melo, particularly rotating, has been really interesting because he's gotten better at the first rotation. When we hear him or we hear Frank Vogel, and we've heard them both talk about this recently, the low man habits, him being the weak side, low defender, closest to the baseline, he's been better. And we see this game by game, him improving at being that first rotator. And he's 32 for 39 in those 5 games that I logged. And we see it just, you know, 70% the first game. He went 5 for 5 the second game. He went 7 for 10 the third game. He went 6 for 6 the fourth game. And he went 7 for 8 the fifth game. Like, pretty consistently good. That's encouraging. And we're seeing him do a good job. Past that, so 32 of 39, 82% as the first rotator. For the other two rotation types, he's 4 for 14, 29%. So if he's not the one defending the rim the first time, he is watching the play. He is not closing out to defenders on the weak side. He's not sinking down to help the man rotating. So if he is your three, this is something Bron does a really good job with, is in a traditional, you know, five lineup, we'll say, I don't know, DeAndre is at the point of attack, you know, not at the point of attack, but defending the ball screen in his aggressive hedge. And there's a roll man, and AD will rotate over from the weak side to take on the roll man. And as that roll man's catching, if Bron's the small forward, he's doing a really good job of rotating down to take away the AD's guy, because AD's rotating over to take away the roll. When that's Melo, he's leaving that dude wide open. So AD is looking worse, or, you know, players Melo's playing alongside are looking worse because he's not doing his job. And that's harder to notice watching live, but on film, it really stands out. So I want to both praise him, but also point out, like, big picture, Melo as a rotator has been one of the worst guys on the team, only at 63% execution, because he's just doing so poorly with those secondary rotations. And it's not an effort thing. It's about recognition. You kick ass with one thing, but stink at another, when basically from like a physical standpoint, they're the same thing, because you're not trying hard. It's about recognition. The coaching staff, if I were advising them, I'd say, hey, first you need to recognize that this is an issue, but then also show that to him on film, and then in practices and in games and in film sessions, be coaching to that behavior. This is something that can definitely improve if they focus on it, make it a point of emphasis for him, and hold him accountable. Because it's really not hard to do. Of anything for any of these guys on the roster, these secondary rotations should be the things they can, you know, improve most with. And right now it's one of the bigger weaknesses of the team. Being that first rotator, there's a little bit of a ceiling to that, because if it's Rajon Rondo making that rotation, he's tiny. If it's Malik Monk, he's small. Like, if it's Kendrick Nunn, he's small. Being in the right place helps, and it's good, but size still matters with that rotation. Whereas off ball, it doesn't really matter as much. So every man on this rotation, every man on this roster should be able to execute these. It's just a matter of putting in that work and focusing on it. And that starts with the coaching staff. So that's what we've been looking at. It's provided some clarity to me as to who's performing well and who's trending up and who's trending down. Like, for example, Kent Bazemore, he has been trending down a little bit recently. I'd say Reeves has been trending up. Who else? Monk has been interesting because he's really bad when he's in the action, either at the point of attack or defending a ball screen or chasing. But as a rotator, he's been pretty good, which, you know, was what we said when the Lakers got him. And that's what his film from Charlotte showed. So they're just individual guys who are good at some things, bad at others. And this has really made it more concrete for me and helped me parse out exactly how the team is playing. Big picture, this is a roster, like I said, with enough minimum guys that you're going to have holes. When a team goes and seeks like a guard switch against the Lakers, you might think, oh, that's no big deal. But for the Lakers, it could be taking one guy who's a great rotator that's awful at the point of attack and putting them on ball, like Malik Monk and taking someone who's great at the point of attack and not as good rotating, like we'll say who, Avery Bradley? Let me look at his numbers. I think he was one of those guys. Yeah, like an Avery Bradley who's at 59% executing rotations and taking him off ball and then attacking. Like, just little simple things like that. If you're playing the Lakers, take the 3 seconds to get a switch and then just go attack, because the Lakers are going to give up guard-guard switches. So really for the Lakers, it's about having the right guys in the right spots to perform. Roles are really going to matter this year. Having the right guys as point of attack guys or chasers or helpers or perimeter bigs, anchor bigs, mobile bigs, what have you. That matters for this team, because you have a lot of dudes who have one pitch and everything else is bad. So optimize them, optimize them, optimize them. And I think we're seeing the coaching staff do a pretty good job at that. We're seeing less Reeves at the three. We're seeing him more defending in ball screens, which he's pretty good at. AD not playing up to his potential is, one, it's concerning. But two, the fact that he hasn't played well yet, the team has played well overall, third defensive rating past 5 games, you know, that's encouraging. That, from a long-term standpoint, that makes me think, all right, when he does start looking more like him, this will look better. And I think this helps just kind of set the stage. I just recently have been doing this, so I haven't really let it marinate all that much, and I don't have a bunch of analysis on like which specific groupings of guys or 80 at the 4 versus 5, all that, how I'm thinking about that, and I'll kind of refine this as I go along. But I think just tracking what's happening in a more like factual way rather than seeing what stands out to me watching live is going to help the analysis that we have here on the pod. So the defense has been, you know, getting better. It's vulnerable, but it's getting better, and individual guys are getting better. And Ellington's back, and he's a bigger body, and him as a 3 versus some other guys as a 3 is encouraging to see. And you know, just physically, he's in a better shape than some other guys to defend those specific larger body required situations. The offense now is really where I think the focus needs to go for this team. On the season, they're 19th in offensive rating. Over the past 5 games, they are 26th. Really, really bad, and not playing good defenses either. They are, yes, of course, missing key players, and that's the obvious problem, but it gets a little bit deeper than that. And to me, the most frustrating thing with Vogel, and it hasn't been the rotations, because like he's out there, he's got like 10 guys to pick from. DeAndre Jordan's gonna play. Dwight's gonna play. Like, Rondo's gonna play some of these. Whenever Ron is out, Rondo will play. There are some just combinations of players that you have to play because you can't put out a 48 minutes where there isn't a weird grouping for a couple minutes. If you're really upset with Vogel's rotations, I would challenge you to go create your own rotation using the rotation creator tool I made for the Lakers and show me something that's you think is really good and you wouldn't be upset with, because there will be times in the game where there need to be bad rotations out there. Like, for example, Russ plus Rondo. When Brown's not playing, Russ plays enough that the gaps in his, you know, when he's not playing are just 2 or 3 minutes here and there. And that's what you want. You want as much Russell Westbrook on the court as you can if you're this team. You need him to be good, first of all. If he's a negative for this team, you know, nothing's going to work. But assuming he's the positive player we think he can be, he needs to play a lot. And that means the gaps for a backup point guard are very, very small, like 2-3 minute stints. And realistically, we're not going to see Rondo come in for 3 minutes and then leave on a consistent basis. He's going to get 4, 5, 6 minutes. And because of that, you'll have some overlap. So it's not ideal, but these are, I mean, it's what it is right now. So I'm not all that upset about it. I'm not all that upset about DeAndre playing. He's played better than people are saying he's playing. I get the need for more 80 at the five, but it really comes down to, like, if he's at the five a lot and you're cutting DeAndre from the rotation, either Dwight's playing like 30 minutes, which I don't think will happen, or you're going to be really, really small at specific positions. And actually, I check that. Dwight playing 30 minutes doesn't really help this. I'm talking about AD playing more at the five. So it's more about Melo playing a bunch, LeBron playing a bunch of power forward. And if Bron's a four, who's going to play those 3 minutes? If you take a big chunk of LeBron's minutes from the three, put him at the four, is Bazemore now? You're just, Bazemore and Ellington are now your small forwards? Like, It's a challenging situation. It's not easy. And I, you know, calm down. One area that has been concerning to me that should be better. It really should be better. And we see it be better for little stints is the play calling. And we've talked about this a lot on the pod, but I want to, you know, reemphasize it can be better than this. Like, the team has good sets. They work. They work with the players available now. You don't need LeBron to run most of these sets. And they're just not using them. They're using them less and less. We see in game when the other team goes on a run or there's a call that goes against the Lakers or in any way when there's adversity, the team calls fewer sets for whatever reason. After timeouts, they'll almost always call something just as every other team does. But past that, we're not seeing them be organized. And that makes them a less resilient team. It makes them a team more likely to crumble when the adversity is getting, you know, going against them, when the momentum's going against them. When they have big leads, they'll call fewer plays, so it's easier to come back against them. It's just, I hear people talk about focus and locking in. And at the player level, that's a real thing. At the coaching level, that's a real thing. If you're calling shitty plays or you're not calling plays and just naturally the five guys you have out there playing freelance pickup basketball aren't going to be an effective grouping, that, you know, that's something we need to pay attention to. There's no reason the Lakers should not be running more of those north-south flat ball screens for Russ every game he plays. You don't need LeBron in the game to do that. You don't need AD in the game to do that. If you have anybody out there, if you have DeAndre or Dwight or AD, get him going downhill. There's no reason to not use those. That's the most simple. Like, there are other things, but that's the most simple example I can give because it's really to help a ball handler get downhill. It's just so simple. There's no reason you shouldn't be, like, if you're going to post up 15 times a game, there's no reason you should only be running one split cut a game. Run stuff and occupy help defense so AD can go to work. We're seeing the Lakers get doubled. We're seeing AD when he's a power forward. The Lakers have played teams recently where he has a pretty big advantage on his man, but because the Lakers are all standing around, it's easy to double team him and then recover when he passes out. And this isn't new. We talked about this last year. You got to move and you can be proactive. You can run sets, you can run split cuts and be proactive and keep the defense from helping. Or if they do help, you can do things to counter that. And we're not seeing the Lakers be strong in that regard. So that's going to hold the offense down. Even when, like, LeBron's back, that's going to continue holding the offense down. It's frustrating. Until that's better, this team, as constructed right now, won't have a good offense with injuries. I think they can pull their offense up to be okay, and I think the defense can be pretty good, even with this group, if they get better at this. Healthy, this roster with awful play calling still won't reach its ceiling. And that is, like, the long-term, bigger picture concern for me. Build those habits, figure out what works, run the good stuff, cut the bad stuff out. Like, they're running some sets more that are bad sets that we've talked about on the pod that we don't like. They're going to specific actions, specific set plays that haven't had success this year, last year, the year before. Like, so that's my biggest frustration right now. Last topic before we hop out of here is I want to talk a little bit of some Dwight versus DeAndre, because I think rightfully so, this is getting attention. And there are, I think, merits on both sides of the discussion. The fact that we're going to need to see one or both of these guys, just based on the lack of other forward bodies to play, you know, three or four, is real. So for right now, we're going to have to see probably both of these guys play, unless one of the two of them is going to play big, big minutes. Or the Lakers play AD a bunch at the five, and then they're just small at the four and the three. Defensively, one player's clearly been better. And I am looking at the tracking on this. I am looking at the data on this. Dwight's been better. DeAndre is getting beat on ball, and he's losing his man off ball way more often than Dwight. Like, just like those are mistakes and capability, those two things right there. From a ball screen standpoint, in drop coverage, Dwight has a slight edge. In more aggressive coverages, DeAndre's had a slight edge from an execution standpoint. It's been pretty close for both. When it gets to rotating, Dwight's had a much larger edge, and I think part of this is the fact that we've seen DeAndre after his first effort on a play just kind of shut down a little bit. So they're just Dwight, I mean, and he's been a defensive player of the year. Like, he's good at this stuff. He knows what he's doing. And he's been a much better rotator. He's been a better defensive rebounder, although it's been pretty close. We see from a volume and from a conversion standpoint, that's the case. From an activity generation standpoint, there's been a pretty big gap. Our pickpocket rating grade at B-Ball Index, Dwight is in the 90th percentile, one of the best among bigs. DeAndre has an F. Passing lane defense, getting deflections, intercepting balls, Dwight has a C, decent for a big. DeAndre has an F. So right there, those are, you know, directly generating turnovers to help your team's offense as well. So I think that needs to matter. From a rim protection standpoint, we're seeing DeAndre blocking slightly more shots, or shots slightly more often. But overall, Dwight has been a better disruptor in terms of when you shoot against him at the rim, you're going to shoot worse than you normally do compared to DeAndre. It's like you shoot 5% less than we'd expect players to shoot when Dwight's contesting your shots, and it's only like 1% for DeAndre. And that's a pretty decent gap. Dwight's also contesting a higher percentage of the shots at the rim when he's on the court. We don't have our like rim deterrence stats up yet, but that'll be something I want to check as well. So in a lot of areas, Dwight's just been better defensively. Now, offensively, it's close. And I've seen some bad narratives out there. I think it's really easy to like lock into a specific game or specific thing you're seeing and then see that moving forward. It's like, I don't know, when I rent a specific car that I don't generally drive, and then when I get home after a trip and I'm driving around, I just see that car more often. I think that is part of what people are seeing with this. Let's talk about, you know, pick and rolls. From a screen assist rate standpoint, you know, per 75 possessions on the court or per 100 possessions per possession, it doesn't matter. Right, like normalizing that. Screen assists, Dwight has a slight edge. They've both been pretty good. From a roll man impact standpoint, Dwight's been better. They've both been pretty good. Dwight's in the 99th percentile. DeAndre's in the 95th percentile. There have been times where Dwight has been caught up on screens because he's basically setting a moving screen against a defender trying to go under it in order to keep that guy from just being able to shut Russ down driving. And, you know, that's going to naturally, if you're trying to wall that guy off, it's going to take you longer to roll. And if they're going underneath you, you can't roll as hard. When they're going over, he's able to roll pretty hard, and he's been an awesome roll man. 99th percentile impact, like really, really good. DeAndre and Russ have certainly played more time together. I think they're hooking up at a higher rate than Russ and Dwight. But just total roll man possessions, Dwight's been getting more opportunities at a higher rate than DeAndre. And I don't think that's something that you would necessarily realize, because we see these highlight plays seared into our minds, and we see one of these guys playing far more than the other, and it just seems like the volume is there, because the volume is there, but per minute, per possession, Dwight's been just as good, if not a better role man, and I'd argue he's been a better role man. Finishing at the rim, they've both been really good. DeAndre has a slight edge, but they've both been very, very good. On the offensive glass, this is where there's a big difference. Dwight is usually elite at this, and he's been really bad so far, like converting on like 15% of his opportunities. Crazy. Like, he's had tons of opportunities. He's not converting, even when we look at like him deferring to teammates and take that out. DeAndre's been pretty good. And so on the offensive glass, DeAndre Jordan is generating more chances for the team. And so when the Lakers are out there bricking shots, they're getting second and third chances with DeAndre Jordan out there. With Dwight out there, they're not. And it's not that he doesn't have opportunities, because he does. It's just that he's not converting. So that, to me, is a huge, huge difference in their play, and is part of why overall I think I'd say DeAndre's been better overall, big picture. But to me, it's not all that straightforward. In big picture, offense and defense, my takeaway is that there isn't a clear cut, like this guy needs to play every minute and this guy needs to be benched. I think they have their own strengths and weaknesses. I think those come out in specific times, in specific games, with specific teammates. But these two should be playing a more even balance of minutes. We shouldn't be seeing, all right, let me take a look. Past five games, it's like 2-1, basically. And so moving forward in the season, and I think health could be part of that, moving forward in the season, I would love to see Dwight play more. I don't know that he should start. I don't know that he should be playing all the minutes. I don't know that DeAndre should be cut out of the rotation. You need these guys to both be playing well, but they both need to be playing, and Dwight needs to be playing more. So That is something that Tom had mentioned in his three sentences of notes, like 10 total words he sent me that were very, very spot on, right on the nail. Dwight needs to play more. Reeves starting, we could talk about that next time. I think he's making a case for himself. And I'm interested to see when THT's back, when Nunn's back, what happens to Reeves versus what happens to Ellington or Bazemore or Monk. Because I think Reeves has played pretty well. And then, yet again, protect Carmelo Anthony at all costs. He's been fantastic. I'm interested to see what happens with these like all-star voting this year because fan voting is a big piece of it. So Melo might be in the three-point contest. He might be in the all-star game and work on that defense, buddy. But we're going to take all those threes every day, even though a lot of them have been hard shots. As long as he's making them, I am not complaining. And he in the past has been a very good three-point shot maker. This is not new. This is not an aberration. It's just been high volume, and he's having a really hot streak right now. So loving to see that. The Lakers tonight are playing Miami. Miami's, what, like 7-2? So I'm not expecting a whole lot from that game, but hopefully we see good rotations. We see the Lakers run more plays. We see more downhill ball screens. We see AD healthier. I don't even know if he's playing today, but want to see guys used in smart ways and put up a fight against a team that should be better than them today. So that's all for today. I am going to get going. I'm traveling a little bit this weekend, but hopefully we'll have another pod out for you in a couple days. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. This has been it for the Lakers Exceptionalism Podcast. I have been your host, Tim. If you like us, want to follow more of our work and chat with us more often, we have a Discord server. I have a server with my friends where we'll play like Rocket League, and that's a way to like chat as we're playing or talk to each other or you know, type out messages. For our server with the Lakers Exceptionalism Pod, it's a pretty big community of people just talking basketball literally all day long. It's fantastic, sharing really smart insight, much more like quality content, I'd say, than what I generally get on Twitter or on Reddit. So that is a fun group. There have been a number of people in that group that like, now that they're in there, they don't even really do all that much on Twitter or Reddit because they're like, this is my group of people. And that's been awesome to see. Just all that community has been a huge part of my year and growing beyond this year, you know, in the past and forward. I see it being a big part of my Lakers experience and would love for that to be the case with you as well. If you'd like to join, we have a couple of options. You can donate over at patreon.com/Kranjus, or you can also DM me a 5-star review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And there are a couple there. I forget the names of the websites, but there are a few other places you can do the same. And we can get you on in there. It is a lot of fun. I would highly recommend it. That is all for today. We'll talk to you next time. Take care, everyone.
Lay close, yellow and staples tonight. Not a subway to be seen. An offensive isolation. And Miller looks like he's the queen. The fans are howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows they've tried. Don't let them pop, don't let them see. I'm better set to get where we used to be. Got screens, split guts, run something in place. You bet we can. Run a play, don't keep up from the hoop. Run a play, set a best grand slam the hoop. I don't care what they're going to say. Set some off for screen. The 1-on-1 game isn't working anyway. Funny how no sense make the spacing seem small. Run better sense and that issue won't get to you at all. It's time to see what you can do to fix the offense and break us through. The stagnant play, we're standing for you. Break play, gonna play. Throw some lobs up in the sky. Run a play, run a play. And you'll never see me cry. Here you stay to set us free. Free as a invited ball screens break the pool defense right down. Rushing the short roll makes opponents fracture all around. Come to the post up half with simple pinning plans. We're never giving up, show us you truly. Shots, run a play.